617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. It's WEEI Afternoons. If you want to react to the Bruins and the egg they laid last night, feel free. We want to talk a little bit more about some quarterback stuff here. We're going to be talking with Mike Giardi in about an hour. Looking forward to that. Giardi over at Boston Sports Journal. Here's something from Steve Buckley in The Athletic that you found, Andy. And it is about every start from Jim Plunkett to Bailey Zappe, how every Patriot quarterback fared in their debut. And Zappe is the most recent quarterback to make a regular season debut. Brissett had been here before already, so he doesn't count. And they started all the way back on September 19th, 1971, Schaefer Stadium, and Jim Plunkett. And this was interesting. I thought there was some interesting stuff in this. Plunkett had a pretty good game, 82.5 passer rating, 6 for 15, 127 yards, didn't throw it a lot, did have a touchdown to Ron Sellers and Roland Moss. The Patriots won 20-6 against the Oakland Raiders. Those are some names I don't know. Ron Sellers, I couldn't tell you. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I played soccer with Randy Vataha's kid.
Oh.
Yeah. His name was Kyle, and he was a really good athlete. He was definitely our best player. And I think he played basketball, too. But, like, yeah, he was – there was no doubt, like, which one of the guys on the team was, like, a
– son of a pro.
Pro athlete son. It was pretty clear.
Wasn't you.
It was definitely not me. He was around that era, right? Was he Plunkett? He played with Plunkett, didn't he?
Yeah. Late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
The one I liked – so who is one of the all-time great quarterbacks that everybody loves, even though he's not in Brady Bledsoe land, but it's Steve Grogan, right?
All-time Patriots quarterback.
Beloved.
Grogan, yeah, sure.
Beloved
if
by
you were
Patriot
a fan
Nation.
In that era, sure,
yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so you go to his November 2nd, 1975, Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Steve Grogan goes 14 for 34. For 173 yards with one touchdown and two interceptions for a 42.9 passer rating.
That's not very good.
If I'm Drake May, I'm like, I'm going to do better than that, I think.
Right, you would think so.
Like, that is a low bar for a great player who went on to what? Have a 15-year career after that or whatever it was?
Win Super Bowls, yeah.
Be a starter for a long period of time. And similarly, was a running, athletic quarterback, more of a runner probably than Drake May is, one of the great runners early in his career. But to me, that's just an example. No matter what happens on Sunday, it can go horrifically wrong. You can still have a great career. Like, we're going to react. I may even call it overreaction Monday when we're down there.
I just did 10 minutes about the first of 82 Bruins games. So, yeah, we might overreact.
People
get
mad at you about it, too.
Yeah, whatever. Get mad. Get mad if you want to. We have a show today, and I was expecting that they would not get pushed around by the Panthers, all right? I was expecting it would look a little different. It looked exactly the same. I'm annoyed by that. If you don't like it, tough. Anyway, go ahead.
Monday at Gillette Stadium, we will be overreacting probably one way or the other. Maybe we'll even fight. Who knows? And we'll also be speaking with Drake May
for the first time. And I just got sent the Drake May drops and the sponsors. So
very much looking forward to that. But we may, if he's what CJ Stroud says, we may, or what Ish, was it Ish who predicted like the 40
that he was going to kick ass?
Winning.
Yeah, that was Ish and Trenton. Yeah.
If he does that, we're going to be overreacting. And if he puts up Steve Grogan's numbers, if he put up those exact same numbers, 14 for 34 with 173 with a touchdown and two picks. Are we going to be overreacting for the negative? 14 of 34? I mean, Jaden Daniels has been completing like 90% of his passes.
We'll say it's not ideal, I think. I definitely would be saying that. And Jaden Daniels in his first start wasn't great. You know, he was running around a lot, and Quinn comes out and goes, yeah, we can't run around so much. He's going to have a short career if he keeps doing that. He didn't even throw that much.
Isn't that easier said than done? Like, CJ Stroud said the same thing. His issue was he was running around too much.
Yeah.
Isn't that easier said than done? Like,
to
it's
run around
survival.
Or,
to not run. Like, you're in. Isn't it the fight or flight? And I don't want to fight the 300-pounder that's coming at me, so flight is the other option.
Right.
Isn't that instincts kicking in? So he's going to do that. He's going to run when he shouldn't run. The beauty is he can throw on the run.
Yeah, yes, he can. Drew Bledsoe did not have a great debut. 1993, his passer rating was 69.9. Nice. He was 14 of 30 for 148 yards, two touchdowns. Patriots got smoked. Let's see. There's Tom Brady, who had a good game, 13 of 23, 168 yards. Patriots smoked the Colts, and he had a passer rating of 79.6, so not a huge game for him. Then there's Matt Cassel. Jimmy Garoppolo had a good start. Probably the best one ever, actually. Jimmy Garoppolo and Zolak are the two guys on this list who had the best starts of all time. I also wanted to point
Shouldn't
out...
Shouldn't this lower real quick expectations? We just said a bunch of guys, and a bunch of them had like 13 completions.
Yeah.
14 completions.
I mean, a lot of this was also in the 80s and 90s when they
Grogan
didn't pass
wasn't.
As much.
He threw it 34 times with 14 completions.
True. I'm just saying, like, these were different eras in football. But, yeah, and, I think it will lower him for me.
And where is this Patriots offense? Does it play in 2024? Because I'm not sure this is a 2024 offense.
Not sure this is any kind of offense.
Right? So I think this...
I don't know if this offense would have worked in the 80s, the 90s, the 50s. I don't know when this
Weren't we
worked.
Talking Sunday that this game was in offenses were setting football back like 50 years?
Yep.
So this offense, I think he should be happy to complete like 13 passes. 13 of 23, I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that as a positive performance.
I wanted to go back over the last 10 years of first-round quarterbacks who have been drafted and see how many of them started right away. And when I say started right away, I don't mean like started in the rookie season. I mean started week one. Who they drafted and said, you're going out there, we believe in you, you're the guy, week one. How many of them were like that? And of the 38 quarterbacks who have been drafted in the first round over the last 10 years, only 15 of them started right away. And they are Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson. So many of the guys drafted in the last 2 years started right away. And then it drops off a lot. Mac Jones started right away. Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence started right away. Joe Burrow started right away. Kyler Murray, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Now, these are all guys who played and started most of the year, but didn't start or did start the entire year and started week one. A lot of other guys started their rookie years and started the majority of the year, but didn't get the nod in week one.
Right.
And that goes back to like guys like Blake Bortles, Johnny Football, Teddy Bridgewater, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. there's Mahomes,
Josh Allen,
Baker Mayfield. Even everyone talking, oh, Mayfield played right away. No, he didn't. Tyrod Taylor was the starter for weeks 1 through 3. He didn't start until week 4. Josh Allen sat behind Peterman week 1. He took over weeks 2 through 6. Lamar Jackson sat behind Flacco through the first 10 weeks until Flacco got hurt. There was who else? Daniel Jones sat behind Eli a couple of weeks. Tua sat behind Fitz. Herbert sat behind Taylor before he got stabbed in the lung. Jordan Love sat behind Rodgers for like 2 years. Let's see, who else? Trey Lance barely started at all. Justin Fields sat behind Andy Dalton. Kenny Pickett was behind Trubisky. C.J. Stroud started all year, and most of the guys in the last couple of years started right away. So when you look at the way things are trending, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the way things are trending, starting a quarterback right away is kind of the norm now. And that's a recent phenomenon. I'd say that's in the last 3 to 4 seasons mm-hmm. that you really start seeing all these guys, first round lottery quarterbacks, and they're all getting put out there on the front lines week one right away. Some of them are not getting week one starts and then starting the rest of the year. And I think that's what Drake May is going to be. You know, you're going to look back and say, okay, he didn't start right away, but big deal, neither did Mahomes, neither did this guy, neither did that guy, neither did any of these guys on the list that I just gave you. But in general, I think, you know, this is now becoming a thing. Now these guys are getting drafted, and they're expected to play week one right away rookie year.
I don't want to bring up a sore subject with you, but this was the root of my theory that they should have a forced redshirt year because all these teams are forcing, and don't tell me they're all the same. That's the one place where I agree with the Patriots. Not all these quarterbacks come in the same. So
I agree with that for sure. Yeah.
It probably shouldn't be trending. Like, Anthony Richardson was as raw could be. He could be a classic example of a guy who gets broken, in my opinion, because you were lusting after the upside and the athleticism and sort of just ignoring. What did he start, like 11 games, 13 games, something like that at Florida? Like, he is a raw player with definite potential, can do things that most people can't. And even Mac was a one-year starter, had less experience than Drake May.
Yep.
So they're not right all away. The same, yep. But I agree with you. It definitely feels like the trend, the Patriots bucked the trend for as long as they could. The trend is you take a quarterback in the first round, well, you got to play him, right? We've invested in him. We got to utilize the contract. Some of it may be financial, because that's the other thing. What's the other trend? everybody gets $60 million.
Yep.
Everybody's going to sign a massive contract by year, if not before, but by the fifth year of their deal, right?
And they want to know what they have before they write that kind of check. And that makes sense to me, too. Like, if that's the goal, you know, the goal of it, because you want to be able to sign a quarterback for $60 million because it's a franchise quarterback.
Correct.
And he's going to be your guy, and you're going to have him forever, and this is the way it is. You want that to happen, but before you do that, you don't want to be the Jaguars signing Trevor Lawrence because you hope that he's going to be that guy, even though he hasn't shown you that he is yet, and you're banking on, you know, the future and that being it. There's other examples of that, too, but in general, I think you have it set up in a way financially that it doesn't make sense. And also, I think in some cases here, with all the transferring going on and extra years in college and sort of all this stuff, you're going to see guys coming into the league more NFL ready than before. I think that's going to be part of it, too. There's a reason why Nicks and Daniels and all these guys are 24, 25. Penix is 26. You know, these older, it's not actually, but you know what I mean. Like, these guys in their mid-20s now, and they're a little bit more ready, and I think that that leads to better rookie years. Now, when it comes to signing your fifth-year option at 29 as opposed to 25 or 26, that's a different story, and then you have to decide as a team what you want to do. The Patriots aren't going to have to worry about that. They're going to be looking at a 25-year-old in 5 years and deciding, do we want this guy to be here through his 20s and maybe early 30s? And that's the kind of contract they'll have to give to him. But it's different when you have an older guy. I just think that brings about the idea that these rookies are more NFL ready maybe than they have been in the past.
And it's weird because I wonder what the measuring stick is, because all we talked about for the first month of the season was how passing was down.
Right.
And how, like, guys like Lawrence, who are franchise QBs. You can't argue he's not a franchise QB. His paycheck, his stature within that organization.
Mm-hmm. He was considered about as blue chip of a prospect as there was. Yeah.
But how good is he?
Not very.
And Carr, like Derek Carr, is he a franchise QB on his second franchise as a QB? Like, and he's looking good. They were putting up great points early in the year. Then I've seen, I was watching the other night, he made some horrific throws in that game. And the consistency. And that makes me wonder, are the rookies better options because they're more ready? Or is it just like the standard has come down and it's like, well, if I'm going to have a mediocre quarterback, I might as well go with the young guy, get him experience and figure out if maybe he's better than mediocre. Because I do think the overall passing game has regressed. You have less consistency in general, 32 teams, 32 quarterbacks passing. Like, some of them are putrid right now. Even the good ones aren't good. Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be great.
Yeah, he kind of sucks this year.
He kind of stinks. Yeah. And Deshaun Watson obviously just flat out stinks.
Doesn't
as the highest
stink
paid.
At all, right.
Right, so I don't even know what the stand... And I'm very dubious of Darnold, for example, Jaden Daniels, another example. Guys have been really good. This feels like Bledsoe-esque. Those Bledsoe seasons where he was really good for 4, 6, even 8 games. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Drew Bledsoe's going to win the MVP.
Get some tape out on him then.
And then all of a sudden it's like, why is he throwing 5 interceptions in the last 2 games? In like that downward turn. I feel like that downward turn is coming for a bunch of these
guys. It could be. I mean, it certainly could be. It never happened to Stroud last year. You know, Stroud, people were waiting for him to start falling, hit the rookie wall, and he never did.
And maybe Daniels won't.
Maybe he won't.
Then you establish yourself as special. You're one of the really great ones. And I think even some of the ones that are struggling or not winning, like Joe Burrow's team is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a special quarterback. He's still a top 5 quarterback. Like, and Kirk Cousins is coming on strong. He was actually one that started slow, and then this week he threw for whatever, 520 yards or 10 yards. So I just think the passing game is under a lot of focus right now. Both sides of the ball. We had that blip of a topic. Remember Mel Kiper wanted to get rid of all the 2 deep safeties?
Oh, yeah, no more safeties.
Feel like we
just
haven't
banned safeties in general.
That was one of the dumber things we've actually spent any time. That's dumber than my redshirt year. Can you admit that?
Yes.
That is definitely dumber than my
redshirt. Abolishing the safety, I think, is worse than that. Although, I do think that in terms of just the problem with your redshirt thing is that I feel like you flip-flopped on it pretty quick. Because now,
I didn't ever flip flop.
I think you did on this one because you said it was the dumbest thing ever when I said no. I think guys would be better off playing right away and getting better on the football field. And then you said, well, yeah, I think that May should play right away. He should play. And if you think that it's good to have a red shirt year, then why would you want him to play?
Oh, because I'm doing business is being done.
Okay,
I want it to be forced. I want it to be.
But you want him
way.
To play because you think it's better for him to play.
In the current format,
you
yes.
agreed with Mayo that football players get better playing football. You agree with that,
to
right?
To some degree,
well,
yes.
Doesn't that fly right in the face of the red shirt thing?
Well, no, because if the red shirt's a rule, and I don't want to go down this road with an argument again, so don't start calling me stupid and moron and dumb and all those things
I mean,
things
I can't
again.
Promise anything, but all right.
But No, my whole point is the structure that we just talked about, the contracts and the money and the five, like you have a finite period of time to get the guy ready, figure out what the hell we're doing. Like under that world, I want him to play. I got to start the process because I'm wasting time if I don't start the process. But if no one is doing it, you know what I mean? It changes the landscape of the world we're all doing it in.
We all have
to waste the year.
But I think someone like Stroud or this year, someone like Daniels would say, no way would that be better for me if me and everybody else all had to sit out.
Oh, I think Stroud would
play right now.
No, I think Stroud would have been better if he had learned for a year.
You think he thinks that?
Yeah, probably.
How could Daniels be any better? Daniels having the best start of any quarterback ever. I mean, what is he going to say?
There's passes he's missed.
He could have been better than the best ever,
I guess.
He
wouldn't have run too much in week one. He would have gotten that out of his system on the practice field.
I think he'd rather start making money right away or start making plays.
They're getting paid during their red shirt.
Sure. But when you're out there putting up highlights and putting up these big numbers right away, that's better for you. That's better for you in the contract you sign in your fifth year, I think, 100%.
Didn't really hurt Mahomes. He got $500 million.
It did. It's true. I mean, that's very fair. It didn't hurt a lot of these guys. Tua signed a big contract. All these guys signed big contracts. But in the case of Tua and Trevor Lawrence and some of these other ones, they did it because that's the way business is being done. They weren't 100% sure that this was the right guy to do it for. They just, that's the guy they had, and they didn't want to give up on him. And that's what you do. I mean, that's the world we're living in right now.
So I have a theory there. There's a little bit of an NBA-ification of that. Where in the NBA, a lot of guys get sort of the max deal. Whatever their max deal allowed is, they get.
Yeah, I remember Harrison Barnes got a max deal once, and
and you're like,
what?
And then in the NBA, what you end up with is a lot of trades where two teams that made mistakes swap those mistakes.
Sure,
hey, Caps, we'll switch them.
Hey, well, Westbrook for CP3 or something, right? Yeah, exactly.
Do you think we could have that coming on these quarterbacks where too many quarterbacks are going to get $50 and $60 million deals? And for example,
I think we absolutely could have
Trevor Lawrence for Kyler Murray.
Sure.
We both have $50 million quarterbacks. We're not really sure they're good. You want to swap? I think those could be coming.
I could see that.
That's my prediction.
I could 100%
some of those
see that.
Big QB deals are coming with big contracts.
Because that's what everyone always said about Westbrook and Paul. These are untradeable contracts. You can't move these contracts. They're untradeable. No, they're not.
Right.
Nothing's an untradeable contract. Because there's other bad players out there making that same kind of money, and you could swap them. I think that will happen. I'm with you. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Well, of course, to me, the rookie should be starting. He's the future here. You know, and it's funny because you mentioned Jim Plunkett. And the Patriots were 2-12 going into that season. They sucked. They didn't have an offensive line. They had nothing. And I always say, guys, I know you're young, it's not younger than me. I'm exactly Belichick's age to the day. And I remember vividly how when they drafted Jim Plunkett, he was the Heisman Trophy winner out of Stanford. They built – it was a dump. But they built Schaefer Stadium, was opening. Everybody started to say, let's root for this team because, guys, you had people left over from the New York football Giants. This area was all Giants fans, and they really didn't switch. My father and everyone, they're still Giants fans. Bledsoe, to me, was the most important draft pick because people looked at it and they said, wow, I don't care what kind of team we got. Now we're going to have the number one guy in the draft. We had the Heisman Trophy winner, new stadium. That's when Patriot Nation really started with Bledsoe. And he had a pretty decent year. I mean, the team sucked. I mean, you mentioned Randy Fataha. He was playing, you know, he became his number one receiver. But they just had no problem saying, okay, let's just hand it off to Plunkett.
Yeah. You know? All right. Thanks for the call, Ralph. Appreciate it. Vataha played with Plunkett, not with Bledsoe, but I knew what he meant. And
it'd be awesome if Vataha played for that long.
That'd be a long career. It's like Tony G right there. Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I tend to agree that, and I was young, obviously, when Bledsoe got drafted and was the first overall pick or anything, but for most of my life and for most of, you know, my father's life, the Patriots were kind of an afterthought with a couple of playoff appearances, the one Super Bowl in the 80s, and that was it. And Bledsoe and Parcells, to an extent as well, played a big role in sort of reviving them. But, I mean, yeah, there was a time where you couldn't get Patriots games on TV. They played the Giants games. People around here liked, Jim Brown or whoever else. They liked players on other teams. There's nothing to like on the Patriots.
Bo Jackson and the Raiders were my team.
Right. It was that same
kind
of thing.
They were always the 4 o'clock game on, NBC, and I'd watch Bo and the Raiders.
Yeah, Bo, Marcus Allen. He had some players there.
You had to have a second team.
Yeah.
Because your team, especially that late 80s, early 90s, was, I mean, putrid. You're talking one and two win type seasons.
You know who I liked was Bernie Kosar in the Browns.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Until Bill screwed him?
Until all that happened. I didn't even realize Bill was there, but like, I don't know. I just those games would be on once in a while. I like the orange helmets, and I like Bernie Kosar for some reason.
Did you like, who was it, Mack? Kevin Mack?
Kevin Mack, yeah.
Because he had the big, he was like, he wasn't a fullback, but he was a big back with big,
big shoulder pads.
Christian Okoye, like.
When you watch old games, even like the 0-1 Super Bowl, the main thing that sticks out to me is the pads.
Absolutely.
The pads are so different now. It's like they're not even wearing them anymore. But back then, even Troy Brown had these big pads. You know,
I think they realized they don't really do anything. Bigger isn't always better. Remember that.
Apparently. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to take Dan Orlovsky to the spin zone.